It is something we do every day, one foot in front of the other. It's something we learn while we're very young. In fact, toddlers learn to walk relatively quickly. It takes Christians a lot longer to learn how, for some reason. And that's because of the confusion that Dustin just pointed out. There is a natural course or walk in the world, and as he mentioned, many walks of life and varieties that we are born into, that we know naturally, we follow a crowd and learn, just as being in the world. And so it's very hard to learn to walk a way that is not of this world. It sounds very alien, very different than what we're used to, very strange. In Ephesians chapter 2, he pointed out that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and we walked according to the course of this world, and that walk then follows a course. And so whether you knew it or not, whether people know it or not, they walk a walk. They walk according to a course, and it's a course that everybody else walks, even though they claim independence and I'm my own man, you're walking like everybody else. That's what we all do until we learn the truth of God's word, until we walk accordingly. And that walk in the course of the world is something everyone's on. When you don't know what course you're on, as most people are in that place, that's called wandering, right? And even the wanderers of this world are on the same course. They're on the same plane, going to the same place, but they're just wandering, don't know where they're going. And so it's a little bit of enlightenment to learn Ephesians 2, even to the unsaved person, saying, you know, you're all on the same road, going the same place, walking the same way according to the same wisdom. No, no, we don't. We're all different. Not that different. You're all pretty much the same, because I was once on the course as well, and so are you. They're sinners. We don't know the truth. You're ignorant. You're blind. Ephesians 4 talks about that. You're walking the blindness of your heart, walking the ignorance of your mind, and things like this. You don't know truth. And so this is a big difference between the walk of the world as we are familiar with in our past and walking the Christian walk or walking in Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, right after those verses that mention the course of this world, Ephesians 2 verse 4 goes right into this new course that we're on. And what's interesting is though Ephesians 2 and 3 talk about people pursuing the lusts of their flesh and things like that, Ephesians 2, 4 through 10 don't speak about what you do at all. Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, even though in the past you fulfilled the desires of your flesh and of the mind, and you walked according and worked what the works of the children of disobedience worked, but God, verse 4 says. So suddenly, you're taken out of the picture. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Well, where's my walk begin? Well, it began in verse 4. But I haven't done nothing yet. God, by his mercy, quickened me. That changed courses. In verse 5, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Dustin talked about a heavenly vocation. So our place has changed. We were on that track, now we're on a different track. You may not even note it when you got saved. Ephesians 2, 6, you have yet to do anything. Ephesians 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. We have a destination. It's like a retirement plan in the world's language. Like, we have a place we're going. We didn't even know that once we got saved, but now we learn this. Again, you have yet to do anything. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Wait a minute, where does my walk begin? It's already begun. You're already in Christ. You're already saved by his grace. You already got a heavenly hope, and because you're saved not by yourselves. You're saved by his works. This is the grace message, the gospel of the grace of God. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you don't get yourself to heaven. You don't put yourself on the right track. God does all of that. And so we have to learn about that, because as far as we know, we're still in this world, walking according to the course. But now if you're saved by God's grace, he's changed that course for you. Ephesians 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship. What's that? You got to learn about his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Okay, well, what's this thing he made? And finally, unto good works. Ah, that's it. That's our walk in Ephesians 2, verse 10. Good works, finally, something I can do. Because that's what we think about a walk. I mean, that's how we walk. One foot in front of the other, and we all put the effort in. And so we're trying to find a verse where we're putting the effort in to try to define our walk. And in this first session, titled Walk in Him or Walk in Christ, I want to try to explain two very simple points, is that your Christian walk requires Christ, not you, and our Christian walk is not under the law. It's not what you do, it's under grace. Again, this is counterintuitive. Some people talk about walk, and by the way, the definition Dustin gave up there of walk, this is a very biblical and religious sounding, philosophical sounding definition of walk. Normally the word walk is only used of getting to point A and point B, like using your feet. Can someone walk or not? So it's literally a work that you do, right? But there's another meaning to it, of course, that everyone's familiar with, walks of life. It's the way you live or the course that you're pursuing. A lot of people don't know what they're pursuing in life. We need to figure that out because you're going somewhere whether you know it or not. Either the course of the world or you're going to heavenly places in Ephesians 2, you're saved by grace. Ephesians 4:17, of course, as Dustin said, says, walk not as other Gentiles walk. And so, walk not as other Gentiles walk. And we make this huge assumption because we think our walk is what we do, what we do. It's all about our efforts and our good behavior, that Gentiles and whatever follows cannot be good. It cannot be right. You read Ephesians 4 with disgust. Don't walk as the other Gentiles. Oh, look at that. They're blind and ignorant and greed and lasciviousness. That's not any of us. Well, actually, you were that other Gentile the day before, the moment before you were saved by God's grace. And quite frankly, after you were saved by God's grace, because you didn't do anything to get saved by God's grace, you were probably still walking according to the course of the world. Because you didn't yet know what this new walk was. But Ephesians 4 is talking about other Gentiles who are not saved, and we assume that what they're doing can't be good at all, right? We're Christians. We're better than that. Wait a minute. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works. I read to you some rules of etiquette by Emily Post. Back in 1922, she wrote a book called Rules of Etiquette, Emily Post. Some of you are familiar with that. Some of you are not. Who wants manners anymore, right? But there are rules. Don't shovel your food into your mouth when you eat. Sit up straight. You know, this sort of thing. These are rules of behavior. And we tend to interpret the Christian walk according to rules of behavior, right? You can tell if someone's walking a Christian walk if they cover their mouth when they sneeze, don't open their mouth when they chew, they greet people with hello, say please and thank you, and look at you. You're on your way to the Christian walk, right? Just clean up your clothes a little bit, then they comb your hair. Looking good, right? This is not the Christian walk. Those may be good things, not the Christian walk. I have in front of me here George Washington's rules of civility and decent behavior in company and conversation. I will read his sixth rule. Sleep not when others speak. Okay. His 10th rule. Some of you are offending this right now. When you sit down, keep your feet firm and even without putting one on the other or crossing them. Rules of civility. Don't be uncivil. Now, we're in the city, I told you. Decent behavior. I don't want any indecent behavior people in here. Okay. Number five. Maybe we need the fifth rule. If you cough, sneeze, sigh, or yawn, do it not loud but privately. Please, private sneezes only. And speak not in your yawning, but put your handkerchief or hand before your face and turn aside. He's got 100 of these things. George Washington, founding father of our country. Number 28. He wrote this, by the way, before he was 16. Wow. What a good boy he was. If anyone come to speak to you while you're sitting, you're all at tables. If someone come to speak to you, then you have to stand up. That's all right, yeah. Stand up, though he be your inferior. And then when you sit down according to his degree. So the highest degree first and lower degree later. Make sure you know people's social standing, okay? Well, shall I read number 13? Kill no vermin as fleas, lice, ticks in the sight of others. This is what you call he wouldn't harm a fly. He says, if someone else kills it and puts it off you, put it off privately, and then you must return thanks for him that put off that fly from your shoulder. Rules of civility, decent behavior. 100 of them. You can probably think of 100 more, maybe. I can't believe they behave that way. Well, I'm going to make a rule about that. In my house, we don't do that, or I don't know how they behave that way. And we tend to associate that, because these are very, not bad, these are polite mannerisms, which often change with the culture. Emily Post said, manners change based on time and culture, but really the time-honored principles are respect, consideration, and honesty for other people. And that's what dictates manners. You may bow in China and shake hands in America, but generally it's respect, consideration, and honesty. And these are good behaviors, right? Let's put Emily Post up here as an other Gentile because she wasn't a Christian. Nope, wasn't a Christian. Is what she wrote Good? I'm trying to challenge you here. Sure. Good works. I mean, yeah, cover your mouth when you sneeze. Not bad. Say please and thank you. What about G. Washington? He's another Gentile. There is a debate going on whether he was actually saved or not. Actually, it's whether he's a Christian or not. Salvation's another issue. People call themselves Christians that aren't. But he was a Mason. I know that for sure. He was a Mason. He talked a lot about religious tolerance. He would not allow anyone to speak against the Catholics, even though he wasn't one. His great-great-grandfather was an Anglican priest. He used religious language, you know, that sort of business. But we don't know. He's definitely a Gentile. Okay. 100 rules of civility and decent behavior. Good? Sure, yeah, yeah. Good works. Those are good works. You should read George Washington's Rules of Civility. You might learn something from it. In 2006, a woman named Elizabeth Gilbert, some of you may be familiar with her, wrote a book called Eat, Pray, Love. Okay, enjoying life and food and good? Sure. Praying, good? Yeah. Love, good, right? She wasn't a Christian, of course, right? That's a thing. Christians read it, of course, and they put it into their worldview. Eat, pray, love. Well, Christians, we think that too, but it's not the Christian walk if you don't need Christ to do it. In the book, Eat, Pray, Love, Elizabeth Gilbert gives an account of her travels to different countries. She goes to Italy, India, and Indonesia, respectively, to learn how to eat, pray, and love. Italy, of course, known for food, right? So she learns how to eat there and really eat and enjoy eating with people and all that. In India, she goes to learn how to pray, right? And then Indonesia to learn about love. What's interesting about this is it's not a coincidence that these places are listed there. I don't know if you know this or not about the book. Italy is the center of Roman Catholicism that talks a lot in their theology about eating Jesus and Jesus being a cracker, which, of course, is incorrect. But food is a part of Christianity, if you didn't know so or not. Historically, food and Christianity are a thing, where they would fast or not fast or enjoy food, and this is the thing in Christianity. If you have a Baptist background, you understand that. Others also have food in their background with that. India has the highest population of Hindus, and Hindus love to pray. It's all about their religion and prayer. They're very prayerful. They have a million gods. There's a lot of praying to do. And Indonesia is not a random island country. It has the highest population of Muslims. Eat, pray, love. We're from the Catholics, the Hindus, and the Muslims. And Christians read it and go, eat, pray, love, that sounds good. We learn from the Catholics and from the Hindus and the Muslims. Christian walk? No. Is it good? We'll put eat, pray, love up here. What's wrong with eating? What's wrong with praying? What's wrong with loving? Oh, nothing's wrong with that. It's not the Christian walk. Let's put, do you need Christ for Emily Post? No. That doesn't work. Do you need Christ for George Washington? No. Do you need Christ to eat, pray, love? No. If you don't need Christ, you're not walking in Christ, it's not the Christian walk. Now, I say this because the Christian walk is unique. It needs Christ. Okay, it doesn't mean you don't do anything else, of course. Of course you eat. Of course you cover your mouth. Of course you have good table manners. This is what people do in life. Good works is not the Christian walk. But Christians conflate the two. Well, I got saved by grace, and now I'm going to walk, so I need to learn the rules of good behavior so that I can walk as a Christian. That's not how you walk as a Christian. And someone's going to fly off the handle and say, well, you're saying Christians shouldn't do good works? No, they should. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that. Of course they should. In fact, no one disputes that in the world. Everyone thinks they should do good works and justifies their own works as good. Right? The person who walks around blatantly saying you should do evil and wickedness are the people that everyone else is chasing and trying to put in jail. Like everybody, saved or not. Okay? The American Humanist Association, their motto is... anyone know the motto of the American Humanist? You have any former humanists here this morning? American Humanist Association, their motto is good without God. You've heard that response? Well, Christians and religionists and theists don't have a corner on good behavior. We can be good without, you don't need God to be good. I know the apologetics and, you can't have moral absolutes without an existence of God and blah, blah, blah. But they're right in the sense that they can do good works and totally spit in God's face. They can have right rules of behavior and manners and eat, pray, love, and don't believe in God at all, right? The Buddhists pray, and they don't believe in God. That's interesting. Who are they praying to? Well, that's part of the religious spiel that they're in, okay? I found a religious document that talks about chief qualities of a believer. Okay, so now we're talking about believers here. Those who believe and do good deeds, which is a very common part of Christian religion, right? And here are the statements, the chief qualities of a believer. Truthfulness, sincerity, unselfishness, humility, forgiveness, consideration, respect. There's Emily Post, right? Goodness, kindness, patience. You're like, well, okay. Those are all good, right? These were chief qualities of a Muslim believer. You can't tell the difference between Christianity and Islam when you talk about good works in that regard. Now, obviously, there's differences in religions. Obviously, there's difference in the doctrines. Obviously, there's difference in motivations and all that business. But in good works, they're teaching some good works too. The Ten Commandments of the Bible. You say, oh, Ten Commandments. Now we're in our home territory, the Bible. The Ten Commandments are Jewish. Christ wasn't around with the Ten Commandments. Now, of course, he's God and all that business. But the Ten Commandments were given to Moses to the nation of Israel. Judaism today, who denies Jesus Christ, keep the Ten Commandments. They try to. They fail, of course. We know the truth that no one is without sin. Right? The Ten Commandments are Jewish. They're Old Testament, which means they're not under grace. It is the law. Right? So we're talking about the Christian walk, and it's a very common thing. It'll come up every session, because every session talks about our walk, and every session has to be renewed in your mind to say our walk is not our works, because the Christian walk is not your works. The walk of the world does consider what they do deserving of a proper eternal destination or a reward in life. But this is the truth of Christianity. There's none righteous, no, not one. Right? None of us deserve it. All of us need Christ's sacrifice and his work and God's salvation. Hindus are anti-abortion. Do you know that? Christians, well, you know, the type of thing that Christians need to do as a Christian walk is be against abortion. Well, that's, you're right, you should be, because it's against the sanctity of life and against Scripture and against God. That's true. But so are the Hindus. They're against it. Some others are against it as well. You find bedfellows with people who believe different doctrinal things to you about that issue, because that alone doesn't define the Christian. That's not it. Okay, you can be against killing babies and not know Jesus Christ, right? Muslims, Confucius, they defend traditional sexuality. In fact, it's hilarious sometimes in the West now, since this is the political milieu to kind of glorify and magnify non-traditional fornication and anti-biblical sexual roles. You know what I'm talking about. I can't even say it right. I don't know how to even say it anymore. But Muslims, you go to the Muslim countries. I remember when Obama was president, he went over to Africa to some Muslim countries, and they about kicked him out on this issue. They said, we will not legalize homosexuality. Like, it's illegal. Like, illegal to be, not marriage. It's like, if you are and caught, you're done. That's Muslim countries. And I'm like, wow, maybe we're not fighting hard enough. But it's not the Christian walk, is what I'm saying. Is it a good work? Yeah. In fact, everyone can recognize good works. It's called a conscience, you understand. God, in the Bible speaks about this, God gave everybody, saved and unsaved, a conscience. And the conscience is how you are personally convicted and know right from wrong. That's why you accuse or excuse one another. And everybody, even if they're not a Christian, has a conscience. And that's why the atheist says, well, we have morality because all of us, get together, we have a common sense of what is right and wrong. That's called a conscience. And so you can know a little bit of right. Now, of course, there's a lot of corruptions of that too. And so if people get right wrong, then it'd be nice to go to the source and authority of right and wrong, God, and see what his law said, right? Because God's law is perfect. Man's law, not so much. But there's a conscience all of us has. Some people suppress it, some don't, right? Well, we all generally recognize good works by conscience or learning different sets of rules, and the Bible has sets of rules too, called the law, right? Gentiles follow religious rules. They obey laws. They clean up their life. They pursue noble ends. But they do all that without what is necessary to walk a walk glorifying to God. Walking the Christian life is not doing good works. It's walking in Christ. If you can do it without Christ, it's not the Christian walk. You say, that's really narrowing it down. Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to cut off the branches and the confusion. The confusion in Christianity is that the Christian walk is you cleaning up your life and you doing better and acting better and not sinning as much. The Christian walk is walking in Him. Yeah, walking in Him will breed good works, Ephesians 2, verse 10. There's a lot of things that you need to start understanding about your walk. It has nothing to do with you doing good works. What course are you on? What do you prioritize? Where do you get your power and strength? Where do you find your liberty? Where do you find your glory? Right? Because then you'll know how you're walking and where you're going. You won't be lost as a Christian. I don't know what to pursue. What's God's calling for me? God told you what it was, you know. And you can learn those things without you doing anything. They were given to you. Okay? So everyone can recognize a silly walk. In the 1970s, there were the Pythons, the comedian troupe, you know, Monty Python. They had a little clip about the ministry of silly walks. Anybody ever seen that? You don't need the government to tell you what's a silly walk and what's not. That's why the whole thing was silly, right? Everyone can tell when someone's misbehaving, right? In our conscience, we know this as a society, as civilization, right? It's the uncivil people in the trees and the, you know, they don't know what rules of life are. It doesn't take a Christian to tell you that, right? Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I live in the flesh, that, the life I live in the flesh, is what we're talking about as your walk. It's how you live now that you're saved by God's grace, but here you are in your flesh, how you live in that walk in your flesh, because we're still in our flesh. Are we going to walk according to our flesh? We're walking a different way, or walking in Him. Paul makes it very clear in Galatians 2:20, the life I live in the flesh, live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. It's not my life, it's His life. It's all about Christ. His life is defined by Christ now. Okay, that's Galatians 2, verse 20 says. If our walk requires Jesus Christ, good behavior does not require Him. Right? So I'll make that clear. So secondly, I'll wrap up my lesson this morning with our Christian walk is not under the law. This is what Dustin was talking about when he said Jesus talked about following Him. In the law. Is following Christ good or bad? Following Him where? What did He say? To whom did He say it? You got to rightly divide the scripture. Because Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law. Jesus said, do the commandments. You're not under the law. Jesus said, you know, if you do the commandments, you get eternal life. Matthew chapter 19. Right? Jesus also revealed a mystery to Paul. He also revealed the gospel of the grace of God. He also instructed us according to this walk that had never been instructed before, this walk in Him and His body. Right? So yeah, we're going to be in His body. He's our head. Right? That's a different way of knowing Christ, isn't it? A different way of learning Christ. Romans 6:14 is a popular verse to those who understand grace when it says, you're not under the law, but you're under grace. We sing songs about it. We trot it out as the trump card when people try to put us under a law, make us do something we don't want to do, which is interesting because the things we do want to do, we fight other people saying, you should do them too. But then when someone comes to you and says, well, you shouldn't do that, Romans 6:14, that's when you claim to liberty, right? Romans 6, verse 14, verse 15, your sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin has no dominion over you. People read Romans 6, 7, and 8, and they think these chapters, and we'll hopefully cover this out clearly in the next few sessions, they think these chapters are saying that now you're saved by God's grace, you will live better. Like, you will not do bad works anymore. You will do good works. Or else maybe you weren't saved right in the first place. People tend to think of the gospel, the grace of God, and thinking that it's not works that save you, but once that you're saved now, it's works that make you. Like, your works. That's incorrect. God's words that saved you, it's God's words that you live by, right? Not your own. There's two responses to this verse, however, when they think about grace. One response is to say, well, if it's grace and not works that saves us, then maybe it's not works that we live by, and so our walk doesn't matter at all. There is no walk. Well, that's incorrect, because Romans 6 through 8 is talking about how we walk. Romans 8 even says you got to walk after the Spirit, right? There's obviously a walk. But also, they're picking up on the idea that it can't be our works. And that's true. It's not your works. Well, if there's a walk and it's not your works, then what is it? Well, a Christian walk is not good works. That's the answer to that. Or the second way people respond to this and say, well, Christianity and the Christian walk is good work, so once you're saved by grace, you should do them. Here's a challenge for you. Please explain the Christian walk without giving a list of do's and don'ts. Because we want to use that walk as like the safeguard, right? Yes, you're saved by grace. Isn't it wonderful? It's not what you do. But now that you're a Christian, you need to behave right. Or else you're not walking right. Really? Well, then explain the Christian walk without giving me a list of do's and don'ts. Because the Christian walk, if it's not your good works, means it's not a list of do's and don'ts. Right? What is it then? Walking in Christ. What does that even mean, walking in Christ? I don't even know what the walking in Him. Isn't that just another phrase for saying doing good works? No. There's a meaning to this. Okay. Look at Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. This is a theme verse for our seminar, and I hope you remember this verse in every session once again, because it'll be tempting in every session to think, well, salvation's by grace without works, but our walk, that means God do something. No, you're saved by grace without your works, without yourselves, and you walk not by your works, but by faith in what Christ has done for you as well. You'll see, that's the only way to produce things like fruit of the Spirit. Okay, it's not doing the good work that matters, it's how you got there. There will be people who do good works who end up in hell, other Gentiles. Why? Because they're blind and ignorant. They're not blind and ignorant about what is good, like lying is bad. Like, they know that. They're ignorant about what? This. They don't trust this. When Christians look silly when they walk up to unbelievers and say, you don't know how to walk as a Christian. They say, well, describe the Christian walk. Well, you know, you're anti-abortion, and, you know, you say please and thank you, and you're get rules of behavior. And they're going, I do that too. You don't need Christ to learn these things or to know these things. Read the law if you have to. Read the Ten Commandments. Right? But they don't trust Christ. And that's why their life doesn't glorify God. Not because of their good or bad works, it's because they don't trust Christ. God wants people to be in Him. That's His will and purpose. Right? And when you're in Him, by His grace is what magnifies and glorifies Him. It's what He does. Doesn't that make sense? You get glorified by what you do. He gets glorified by what He does. And Christians go, thank you for what you did to save me. I got the rest. And we think we're going to get our glory and then pass it on to Him. Hold a Lombardi trophy. I worked to get here, but I give it to God. He did nothing for you to get there. Like, you did the work for that. The Christian walk, what gives glory to Him is that He does the work to make you who you are in every day of your life, which is what walking is, every day of your life, to be who you are. Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. We're going to define what this walk is throughout the weekend, but we need to make clear at the beginning that it is not your good works. Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So how do you walk, according to this verse? As you receive Jesus Christ the Lord. Right? People must think they received Him by their personal achievement, because that's how they think their walk is. Right? There's a mountain of good works. Some of us are more spiritual than others. You know, we attend church 7 times or 8 times a week, and so we're up here doing these things, and those guys don't do anything for the Lord. And so we're walking the Christian walk. They're not. Well, how do you know? I'm not saying it's opposite, by the way. I'm not saying that guy is and this guy isn't. I'm not saying that. But it's the walk is not climbing a mountain. It's not running a marathon. It's who can run the farthest, the fastest, the longest, the best. That's not the Christian walk. Okay? If it's in Him, it's not. If you received Him not by your works, by trusting His finished work, then how do you walk in Him? By trusting His finished work, not by yourselves. And that's harder than you think. Because like I said, everyone wants to judge people by this. Right? Even after they're saved. Sorry. Not if you're judging if I'm in Christ or not. Not if you're judging if I'm walking in Christ or not. What's it mean to walk in Christ? To trust His grace? Let's look at a few Bible verses here. Look at Psalms chapter 1. People think the Christian walk is some sort of experience. He's going to make you feel happier if you're a Christian. And so that must be how you received Jesus. You felt happy one day at church and you thought, I guess I'll trust Jesus. Of course not. You heard the gospel. You believed it, right? Well, we should walk according to the law. We should walk at least according to the moral commandments of the law. Well, is that how you received Jesus Christ? Walking according to the moral commandments of the law? I mean, he got rid of the ceremonial, but the moral, like love God, love your neighbor. Is that how you received him, loving God, loving your neighbor? Not under grace, it isn't, right? Psalm 1, this is the Bible, God's holy inspired word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Everyone's read this verse, because you start reading Psalms, you get to this one, you just never finish Psalm 150. You read this one. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. There it is. What's the Christian walk? Well, you're not going to stand in the way of sinners. I'm not going to walk in the way, the counsel of the ungodly. What Romans 4, verse 5? To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the... I'm not supposed to stand in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not supposed to stand in the way of sinners. God commended his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Christian walk is different than Psalm 1, verse 1. You see that? This is called rightly dividing your Bible. This is under the law. The law said, do good. In fact, the law is perfect. Men create their own rules. God's rules are perfect. Where man's rules don't align with God's rules, guess who's wrong? Man. So the law of God is good to learn things like good works. Christians ask and they say, well, what kind of good works can I do? Read the law. We're not under the law. Well, that's why you're confused, isn't it? Good works are known by your conscience. Good works are stated under the law. It's like those are good works, but good works isn't your Christian walk. If you're having trouble discerning right and wrong, then learn and be instructed in righteousness according to all Scripture. All Scripture is profitable for instructions in right and wrong, right? You can learn right from wrong in Psalm 1, verse 1. Definitely do that. Not a good idea to stand in the counsel of the ungodly and walk in the way of sinners. Not good, right? So apparently, if you're a Christian, you don't do that. If you're not a Christian, you do that. Nope. There are non-Christians that take that advice. There are some Christians that don't take that advice. Either way, you're not a Christian because of Psalm 1, verse 1. You see what I'm saying? So rightly dividing the Bible is necessary to know if you're walking in Christ or not. You couldn't walk in Christ before Christ. You couldn't walk in Christ before he revealed the mystery of his grace, right? You could walk in Christ according to a covenant, like the new covenant, but you can't walk in Christ freely by his grace until he revealed that information, until he taught you to do that, until he taught you how to do it. In fact, we'll see later that this whole idea of the Christian walk and walking after the Spirit, walking in him, is uniquely Pauline. Because outside of Paul, even in the new covenant, it's do good and get the kingdom, right? And I'll help you do it. That's not the Christian walk. Okay. Walking by grace, then, is walking in Christ. What's walking in Christ mean? It's walking by grace. It's in his work. Grace is his work, not my work. That's what grace is. I can't do the work. He did the work. So walking in Christ is walking by grace. It's the same thing. When you think of the word grace, always think of Christ's finished work. How do I walk by grace? What's the grace life? Walking every day by his finished work. That's what that means. Which means it's not your performance. How do I walk by? What's the grace life? It's not your performance, I'll tell you that. It's his. Right? So do not confuse your Christian walk with good behavior. They are not the same. Famous singer Johnny Cash, right? He had the song, I Walk the Line, remember that? Because you're mine, I walk the line. So what's he doing? He's walking the line because, you know, he was a little wild. But now that you're mine, I'm walking the line. Straight and narrow. Sounds biblical, doesn't it? He claimed to be a Christian, all that business, but the Bible talks about the straight and narrow under the law. That's not the grace walk, okay? Is it good to walk the line in the sense that I'm not going to step outside the rules anymore? It's good, but it doesn't mean you're a Christian, right? There's a difference. So it's better that he walk in the line than out of the line. That's good, but you can do that and not be a Christian. You should do it either way, right? It's why you're doing it. It's how you get there. Should you do good works? Yes, you should. As the workmanship of Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 10. That's how you, if you don't do them that way, then that's not walking in Christ. If your walk is simply will motivated, if your walk is you saying, well, I'm just going to try harder to live better. Right? That doesn't work, number one. Have you tried that? Some of us have given up. We're like, I'm good as I'm ever going to be, you know. Others are still trying, and you should put away your old man, reckon your old man dead, and walk into yourself. You should do that. But if it's just your will, and that's all that's involved in the Christian walk, it's like, now Christ has saved you, then you just try harder now, right? Now that you're saved by grace, aren't you thankful? Just do good works now. Come on. Do it. All right, let's get motivated. Motivate ourselves to do it. Well, that works for a little bit, but it fails consistently, like all law walking does, right? But if grace walking is simply, there's no more law requiring you, but you should just try harder, then that trying to do something is the same as the law, right? It's the same condemnation. The law says do it or else, there's condemnation when you fail. Take away the law, okay, great, nothing, no one's telling me what to do, except for the pastor who's trying to motivate me to do good on my own. Okay, I'll do good on my own, yeah. Yeah, but just on your own, without this, it's like the law, self-condemnation. Why do you need Christ then? What's walking in Christ do? How does that look like to walk in Christ every day? You need Christ, and you'll notice this from the gospel, by the way. You need Christ for when you fail. I didn't hear any amens on that. Not any failures in here. Everyone knows what good works look like. People write books about it that are other Gentiles. People, you might even try to do more good works, which is a good thing to try to do. But you're going to fail. We're always going to fail. This side of eternity, this side of glorification, you will never be without sin. You need Christ to live, to walk every day because you will fail. And that's how you could live every day rejoicing, because even when you fail to do good, you got your elbows on the table, you're crossing your legs. I'm saved by God's grace, and I have an eternal position in heavenly places because I don't have to do this to get it. Christ did it, right? So it takes away the bad parts of self-condemnation because of what Christ has done to save you from it, right? So grace is not what would Jesus do. The grace walk is not what would Jesus do. And what he's doing, I'm going to follow him. I read the other day someone said that Christians think that a true Christian will pursue Jesus Christ to be like him. Here's the secret. You cannot be like Jesus Christ. If you haven't learned that yet, learn it. He can only be Jesus Christ. You have to trust him to be who he is and do what he did. You will never be like him in the sense of perfect without sin until glory. And even then, you're still not Jesus Christ. He'll glorify you, right? So we need Christ when we fail. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's without the law. Galatians 5, verse 2. If you're circumcised, if you think you got to do the good works, then Christ profits you nothing. Right? Galatians 2, 20, we read before, I'm crucified with Christ. Galatians 2, 21 says, if righteousness come by the law, your good works, then Christ died in vain. You don't need Christ for righteousness of the law. You don't need Christ to do a behavior like circumcising your flesh or fasting so that you can discipline your spirit. You don't need Christ for this. He died in vain. He's not profitable to you. If you want Christ to be profitable to you, then you have to recognize how he is profitable to you when you fail. I tried to do good. I messed up that time, messed up this time. Just not good enough, never going to be good enough. Praise God in Jesus Christ that I'm saved and complete and sealed in him. Right? So Colossians 2, verse 7, then. As you receive Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him, rooted and grounded. You see what it says? Rooted and built up in Christ. It doesn't say, so walk ye in him, make sure you remember to do the law. Walk ye in him, rooted and built up in Christ, established in the good works that you will do, in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You thank God because he did it. Walking in grace, walking in Christ, it's like a little bit, I don't want to open a can here, but like walking in marriage. You say, how can I walk in him? The two become one in marriage. And you don't walk into marriage because the law says you're married. If that's the case, your marriage is in trouble. If the only thing holding you together is like the document, I don't know, $500 for a divorce, you know, it's like, that's an issue. You walk in marriage, one together because of your position. There's no law of husbands. Right? Like, love your wife like you love yourself? I mean, there's a positional truth there. There's a choice you made to be one with this person. Right? It's intentional. You trusted the gospel. You chose to trust his finished work. You're in him. The Spirit puts you in him. And you have liberty then from the law. You have liberty then from the power of sin. And that is what walking in Christ is, standing fast in liberty. Okay? It's not your good works. With that, I will cease my second session to this morning, walking in Him. And I think we're singing a song. Is that right?